Today, the lifestyle for life. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tim Fuller from Nucleus Wealth. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Martin. How are you going?
Yeah, great. Good to have you back on. And we're playing with some new technology today to try and get you an even better image of you.
Oh, look, the technology's going to have to work hard, mate, but I think we're getting there.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Now, this is the second in our series of conversations about, saving planning, retirement planning, all those good things, wealth management planning. But you've got the three L's. We did longevity previously. Now we're doing lifestyle. And this is a really, really interesting conversation because basically there's some good news, there's some bad news, but there's also some good news.
That's right, Martin. Yeah, the classic sandwich approach. And look, I think, everybody likes to, as we covered off earlier, I guess, with the longevity piece, it's one of the crucial components is making sure that you've got enough and that you've thought about your own longevity as well. Once you've sort of ticked that one off, you can start moving into the fun stuff, which is looking at the kind of lifestyle that you can work towards and expect in retirement. And there's a number of ways that we can go about sort of ascertaining that for yourself, and we'll run through those today. And then, of course, we've got the remaining L's in liquidity and legacy still to come up, but really looking forward to talking about lifestyle today.
Yeah, great. And, it's something which we take for granted, right? But the point is, it's worth thinking about what sort of lifestyle you would desire to have, particularly as you move into retirement, right? Because lifestyle does cost.
Absolutely. I've sort of spoken a little bit there in the current piece and also in previous ones about the immensely high level of lifestyle that Australians enjoy. It's a terrific component of being an Australian, but it does also come with its, as you mentioned, its own relevant costs as well. So a big part of looking at what your lifestyle is going to look like in retirement is to pause and have a little bit of reflection on what your lifestyle, of course, is like now and what you enjoy now. And then it's around really quantifying that. So it's a bit of a dirty word in most people's books, but the B word, budget. If you haven't got one or you've just perhaps got a loose budget that you might work towards now, particularly in the lead up, obviously, and you're thinking and planning for retirement, then now's not a bad time to actually start getting a firmer idea of what exactly your outflows are in your day-to-day sort of cash flows and finances. Not necessarily having to make any changes. That's what people don't like about budgets. Budget means I've got to spend less and I've got to stop enjoying myself. That's not the exercise today. The exercise today is really to say, okay, well, look, what are my non-discretionary or my essential components of my life that are going to potentially continue on after I've finished working? And it's really about quantifying and realizing those and then using those to create sort of, in a way, your baseline of what's you're going to need perhaps on a fortnightly or a monthly basis going forward, which is then obviously a crucial component of working out what you're going to need and how long it's going to last later on. Now, the interesting part for this is everybody is different. Absolutely everybody is in a different stage, different sort, form of lifestyle, have their own individual outgoings and what they like to spend money on, of course. And so what I've done is just sort of highlight that if you haven't already, it's not a bad idea to start going digital on getting some help with the budgeting side. And the reason why I say that is because the online or the financial budgetary tools that are available out there at the moment have come a really long way. And they're sort of, for mine, they're not too far off, what a small business or a large business for that matter would use. They've got bank feed connections. They've got the ability to quite quickly aggregate and sort out your transactions. So you find that if you jump on with one, I've listed a few, Choice, the Australian Consumer Commission, it has done a study into it as well, which you can buy their research if you wanted to have a look at one. Once again, you can't sort of recommend one package because different people have different needs, but there are a few there in the article. The whole idea though is that you jump on board with one, obviously a reputable one, and there's different ways you can find out about those. And then in a way, you kind of train it. And so for a few hours each month, you might sit down and start sorting through. And most of the time, it'll actually have an idea of what, you know, what a, you know, if it starts seeing Coles and Woolworths, we'll start putting it into the grocery side and things like that. And then just need to tidy up around the edges with some of the other bits and pieces, some other spending that it doesn't quite know. And then, like most people, you know, you're sort of creatures of habit. You go to the same shop, coffee shops, you buy lunch often at the same places, or, you know, a couple of times a month, whatever it is. Over time, it'll actually then start automatically doing it. So after a few months of using these packages, it's really just a 10-minute exercise just to keep it on track. And then you can spend time doing what you should be doing with the software, which, of course, is having a look at where your money's going. And working out those essential and sort of non-essential spending pieces, so you can then use those essential pieces going forward.
Yeah, and this point of budgeting is really important. In my surveys, under half of households have any sense of their budget. So most, in our survey, most people have no idea. So they just spend and hope it sort of lands. And when you start asking them about, well, you know, what are you spending money on? Well, they've got a rough idea in some cases, but often not. And then when you talk about discretionary rather than non-discretionary, then they just sort of shake their head. I don't know what you're talking about, right? So the discipline which you're talking about, and it is a discipline, you know, is really important. And I would argue that whether you're thinking of doing it in the context of retirement planning and, you know, longevity planning, as it were, or whether you're doing it to just for managing your day-to-day, it's a really important skill. And it's not one that is really widely taught in schools. And in fact, some people think that, you know, it's a bit of a pain to do it. But the point is that the tools are there now to do it really quickly and effectively. And you can pull data out of your bank accounts if you want to do that in some of these packages. So there are ways of doing it. But it gives you a huge insight then to know where you're spending your money, what you're spending it on. And then you can ask some interesting questions about, you know, are these the priorities that I should be spending it on? You know, am I spending things on stuff that is giving me real value or not? And sometimes prioritizing the stuff that you have to spend versus the stuff that you would, you know, if you've got some spare stuff left over to spend, helps you prioritize effectively to control the spending. Because, of course, the question once you've started budgeting is not only what is it going to mean for the future and what am I going to have to plan for in retirement, but it also suggests that if I'm going to save a bit more now, maybe there's some spending categories where I can dial those back a bit and give me a bit more flexibility to save for the future.
Oh, look, absolutely, Martin. And, you know, the key tenet there, I think, is for a lot of people is what they call delayed gratification, which is, you know, the saver's motto, I guess. And obviously you can sometimes take that a bit far, but the key thing is, as you say, going back and having a look at where your expenditure is and then ticking off the essential parts, because obviously, you know, people need to eat, need to put a roof over your head, you need to look after your loved ones and pay for things like insurance and things that may happen in the future to cover huge costs that may come up then. But the flip side is then you can start looking on the periphery and saying, okay, well, maybe we are going a little bit hard on, you know, whatever it is, the restaurant meals, or the other option is to say, okay, look, we're spending X, and if we have halved that, and we go, okay, well, we're just going to set ourselves a budget, then we're going to, you know, have that excess that we can then use to put forward, you know, just for savings to the future. And we sort of, and you mentioned before, there's sort of, you know, the good news, bad news, good news. So I guess the good news is that you need to have an idea of what you want before you go into these things. So you say, okay, look, I'm going to go and do the effort because I want to have more confidence and control over the outcome of my, you know, my retirement at the other side. So I want to feel good about that. I'm going to need to do some budgeting. I'm going to need to address that. Look, as I mentioned, the online or there's a lot of digital methods that you can use to make life really easy. You don't have to go back to the old fuddy spreadsheet or, you know, an A4 book that's sitting in your kitchen drawer that, you know, you probably haven't updated for a few years. There's a reason why. It's very hard to keep up to date. You know, In the making of this article, I had a quick look at my budgeting app that I use, and we've got over 250 transactions a month for a family of four. Now, there was, you know, some conversations with my wife last night after writing this article, but anyway, the point of the whole didn't win, but anyway,
how much?
But the point of the whole thing is that it gives you an opportunity to have a little bit of retrospection on your and a bit of navel gazing on your spending, whether you're my age or you're in your 50s and you're wanting to do something about it. And then the good news is, of course, that you can start looking at the components of retirement that you want to tick off. Before we jump to the planning sort of piece, there's also, for those that feel maybe a bit overwhelmed with the whole budgeting and they just want to know a figure that they might need in retirement as well, There's the Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia. So it's an organisation that puts out a terrific amount of information, and they do a terrific amount of research on what a comfortable retirement would look like, and they've broken it out. A modest and a comfortable retirement. So they sort of give you the lower and upper bounds of those sort of areas, and they're quite prescriptive about what that sort of retirement essentially, you know, could look like for yourself as well. So things like, you know, whether or not you have a low-end motor car or no motor car or a better one, you know, holidays, they really break out the scenarios for you to go through and go, okay, well, yes, I like that one, that one, that one, and that one. I think a comfortable retirement is probably for me. And then that gives you then the CPI adjusted calculations for how much that costs at the moment in current dollars. So they've also got a great tool there where it's a basic calculator, but it's a good illustrative tool to pop in just some basic information, personal information, and then it will go back and compare to their research as well, if you're sort of interested in having a go there. And there's a link in the article to jump through and have a quick play with that one. Five minute exercise, no problems at all. But then I guess, moving on from that, so you can either do it yourself, and I strongly recommend doing it yourself, because then you are, you know, it's really tailored information that you've put together. And it's obviously an ongoing little bit of work you need to do, but it can help steer some really good habits, in the lead up to retirement. And then the crucial component from there is that you can then start thinking about the big rocks. And I kicked off this whole series with breaking out and having a big think about the big things you want to do in retirement. There's carrot and stick in everything. The carrot is doing a little bit of work. Oh, sorry, the stick is doing a little bit of work now, but the carrot should be the big list of things that you want to accomplish at the other end. I've mentioned putting it on, putting on the fridge, having a chat with your partner, owning the list, and then obviously that inspiring a bit of action along the way. It doesn't have to be a huge amount, but just need to be doing something. And that's a key part, just sort of talking about the other bit of good news on the other side of the sandwich, is what you do then is you go, okay, I've got my essential costs of what I need to live, and I've estimated those out into retirement. And then I've got my big rocks that I want to achieve as well. Now, they are generally, higher costs, prolonged, extended holidays, helping out kids with things, and, big rock financial needs. So what you do then is you go, okay, well, I need to achieve my essentials. I want to achieve my big rocks. And then you've got the non-discretionary part in the middle, which kind of, from an accounting sort of term, it becomes the balancing piece that goes, okay, well, when I'm estimating my retirement, I need these two big components ticked off, and then I need to find some way of balancing them. Now, if you have a small amount of non-discretionary spending, you might find it gets even smaller. And that's one of the key things about looking at doing this sort of projection work now in your early 50s or prior to retirement, at least with 10 years out, because what you're actually doing is you're increasing your discretionary spending, the stuff that's non-essential, but also still covering off on the two big goals of being able to maintain your house and lifestyle, and also, of course, getting, some big goals out of the way in retirement, and having confidence around that as well.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a discipline you're talking about, right? Because, I have to say, there are many Australians who, I can't be bothered, right? But the point is, it can make a huge, huge difference, right? Both in terms of where you're currently spending your money, but also laying the foundations for a much more secure retirement later. And, as we said earlier on, this retirement phase can be quite a long phase. And so having some really good thinking to lay the foundations now is pretty critical. And, I know quite a number of people who frankly don't start thinking about this until they're in their sort of mid to late 50s, which is probably a bit late, isn't it? This is something which people probably should be thinking about quite a lot earlier on. And by the way, the discipline of managing a budget helps you during managing today's cycle of financial expenditure and income, as well as the future as well.
Absolutely, and as boring and mundane as a budgetary sort of job in your financial, surroundings may feel, the quicker you can get onto it, the better. And look, it doesn't need to be, broken down to the last cent, but you find, I think, like anything, if you make a start with something, you get better at it, you have a few wins, you start finding that it's working, and then you'll naturally gravitate, more time towards it and focus more on it as well. I guess the key part, and you mentioned there as well, starting early, is particularly if you're wanting to or needing to involve investment markets, where you do need, you know, longer periods in, you know, higher growth markets to help remove some of the uncertainty of volatile markets. So being in, you know, being able to wind up your growth assets inside of, you know, investments, whether it's inside of outside of superannuation, needs a longer time frame in order to start to remove some of the the short-term volatility of the way markets work. And so if you can get in there early, you can typically have a much higher, you know, aggressive portfolio that you then could be winding back from, you know, as you're closing into retirement, rather than trying to do the opposite, which is fraught with danger. And really, I guess that's the thing, you know, for some people, there's a level of anxiety that comes with retirement, like anything in life that's an unknown. And so if you can do a little bit of work to increase the certainty around it now, whether it be the mathematical projection work, if you're that way inclined, or even just feeling like you're, you know, in your actions, you're doing budgets and you're starting to rein in some spending and obviously increase savings, then that's going to naturally lower levels of anxiety as you're going into it, because the unknown becomes more known.
Absolutely. And that's often the case, isn't it? You know, do a bit of work, invest your time and energy to lay some foundations, and that actually takes a lot of anxiety out later. And I think it also gives people a much stronger sense of how much of their budget is really controllable, because one of the things that I quite often get in my surveys is that people feel helpless. You know, they feel as though, well, they're running really fast to earn money, but they're draining their reserves as quickly on the other side, right? And there's a sense of, well, I'm just running really, really fast, like a bit like a hamster in a wheel, right? Well, this is, yep, a way of actually getting a bit of control and understanding how fast you need to run, but also why you're running so fast in the first place. So there's all sorts of reasons why I think this is a really, really important discipline. And yet, as I say, less than half of the people I survey have any sense at all. So folks, this is an important message.
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, even if it's just getting out there and making a start, look, back in the day, going back to the old manual methods, you know, you needed a lot of enthusiasm on a monthly basis to re-hack through your accounts and, you know, tidy up the books and essentially be your own bookkeeper. As I mentioned, that, you know, thankfully there's technology out there now, and there's a lot of sites out there now and software packages where the automation of the whole thing means that, you know, there's a little bit of an uphill climb at the start, and then it largely just starts looking after itself. And so the bookkeeping part, the boring bit, gets out of the way, and then you can start really diving into where the money's going and start making some meaningful change.
Yeah, and that actually can be quite fun, believe it or not, folks. So,
well, it can be a little bit revealing at times, I think. But look, at the same time, it gives you an opportunity to do things like have a look at where, you know, your big costs are, and perhaps shop around. You know, using an opportunity where you've got it all on the table. It sits there, you know, all the time, and then quite often there's terrific charts and reporting that the software packages will do. You can sort of see they're probably leaning towards the direction of being able to help you perhaps get cheaper bills, and, you know, maybe there's a revenue model there for them at some point if it's not there already. But, you know, the whole idea is you've quantified what your outgoings are. You know what they are, so therefore you can help have a degree of control over where it's going. And in the long run, you know, more control is always a better thing.
Absolutely. That's what it's about. It's about being in control and, you know, taking decisions that are actually informed by information rather than just by gut feel. Tim, I really appreciate that. We'll put a link to the article that you'll be releasing very soon. And also, of course, you know, Nucleus Wealth and the Walk the World Fund at DFA are working very closely together, actually doing, you know, reasonably well in the current environment, given everything that's going on. And we'll put some links below for that as well. And I'll look forward to the next L in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Yep. Liquidity. It's going to be a big one. We'll have plenty to talk about, especially given the current market environment. So, really looking forward to that. And thanks for having me back on the show, Martin, as always.
Yeah, great, Tim. And 10 out of 10 for the video call today. It's worked flawlessly. So I think we found a new technology solution. And I might even make a show about the fact that we found a way of doing it better than Zoom.
Oh, there we go. No, look, always happy to help out, mate. Yeah, and you've picked a winner here. I think we might have to use it for our show as well.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll catch up again soon, and thanks for your time.
Good on you. Thanks, Martin. Cheers.